Welcome to What's the Fantasy. I am Brandon Hay, and you can find me on Twitter at HayB3.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Zade Kentabedian, and you can find me at on Twitter at ZKentsFF. Brandon, how are you tonight?
I'm good. A little under the weather. A little I'm hoping it's just sinus and everything.
Yeah. Did the symptoms just start today?
No, it's been going on for like a week.
Oh, really?
No, it kind of comes and goes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice.
But I'm hoping it's just, you know.
You know, like just, allergies?
Yeah, I hope so. And then last week, I was actually in Michigan from Thursday to this Monday. I went to the Michigan football game, so the weather was colder up there. So I'm hoping maybe that prolonged it a little bit, and then coming back to the horrible humidity in Florida. But I'm powering through.
How many games a year do you go up to see in Michigan? Like one or two games?
Just one.
Just one game, and you decided it would be this game?
Yeah, I decided it was either going to be this game or it's going to be Halloween weekend. But this one just worked out better.
So who did they play?
They played Penn State. So it was the best seats I've ever had. Two rows from the field. So yeah. It was super nice. It was a great time. Me and my wife had a good time, you know, walking around Ann Arbor and everything. It's a pretty cool city.
So I texted you. You were at a bar when I texted you, huh? When we were texting, were you at a bar watching the Sunday games?
Yes, I indeed was.
Were you pretty inebriated?
Yes, I am.
What were you having?
Everything. Well, no, everything. Not everything. I started off with a Bloody Mary, then had some different local beers, and then had some amazing beer cheese, and then some pretzels. So it was very good.
So how was the in your state, in your given state, how was it watching the Jags Colts game? How was that game for you?
So most of the game I enjoyed because they were winning, and I was talking to some other patrons right beside me. I met this very nice woman. She was waiting for her son to get done with the soccer camp. She's playing fantasy football against her husband, so we were talking about that. And then they end, the Jaguars do their normal thing, and Matt Ryan decided that he was going to be a quarterback again and make that last. I thought I was just hoping a missed field goal, but then they score that touchdown. I do like Alec Pierce, so I was happy for, you know, to see him, you know, get the best ever first touchdown, probably a game winner. But the Jags just continue to do Jaguar things.
The Jags are an interesting team because they started off really good, and they were almost a different team when they started off in the season. Like, their offense just seemed different. They seemed more offensive, really. They just seemed like they had more dimensions to their game. And now they seem like a more conservative passing game. I don't know if it's just me, but it just seems like they've kind of taken it down a couple notches. And I know we're going through a transition with James Robinson and Travis. It seems like the torch is being passed to Travis Etienne right now. And I mean, we might even see more Jamichael Hasty for all I know. It seems like James Robinson is somewhat fallen off. I don't know, but I know he got stopped at the goal line. I know Christian Kirk isn't that big of a part of the offense. I mean, he was a major, you know, we talked about wide receiver opportunity rating or weighted opportunity rating. And, you know, he had one of the highest scores in the first 2-3 weeks of the season. And now he's like just completely fallen off a cliff. So I don't know what's happening there. And it seems like Evan Engram is being incorporated to the offense more. Do you see a shift in the offense and what's going on there? Has there been a philosophy shift by Peterson? And if there has, what do you think that might be?
So running back wise, I do think it's going to be a closer 50-50 shift. I think it was interesting because seemed in the first half they're really giving it to Etienne, and then in the second half they really gave it to James Robinson. James Robinson ended up with a 4.5 a carry, which is fine. He had 12 carries. Etienne had 10, but Etienne was way more explosive. So I think it might be kind of a hot hand type thing what they do with them. The receivers, I don't know this for sure, but it sure seemed like that one game a couple games ago where Zay Jones went bananas with like 10 catches.
Yeah,
teams are focusing more on Christian Kirk. So I think that's part of the reason that it hasn't looked as good, because he was running wide open and that opened up everyone else. I think not having Marvin Jones last week kind of hurt also. And to be totally honest, before this game, the two games before that, Trevor has been not playing very well the two games before that. So I just think this team's going to go up and down. I think this team is close to being good. It's just they have so little room for error. And this Colts team didn't have Jonathan Taylor. I mean, the offense hadn't been that good, and to allow 34 points, you know, is definitely disappointing. But I think James Robinson's still going to have a role. But I think Etienne is definitely, you know, the running back that's, you know, a stock up. And Robinson, I think it depends game to game. But if you give me 10 to 14 touches for James Robinson, I still like him as a flex player. You know, I mean, he played pretty well, 4.5 yards carry. He's just not going to get those receptions as long as Etienne's in there.
Now, it also seems like, you know, it also seems like with Jonathan Taylor not being around, it's kind of the Colts and Matt Ryan have gotten comfortable and discovered a pass heavy approach should they need one, right? And they've gotten comfortable with it. And, you know, Michael Pittman has reemerged again, and, you know, whatever bye window there was with him shut, and Alex Pierce has emerged, and Paris Campbell had a touchdown. So maybe, you know, given that they will ever, I doubt they will ever have over 50 pass attempts a game this year again, maybe once or twice, if that at the most. But, you know, we see that the receivers become more viable. I mean, Jelani Woods with another touchdown. You know, it's just interesting to see how the AFC South is very much a division where we always think we have it pinned. We're always thinking to ourselves, you know, I think in the first couple of weeks we said to ourselves, look, you know, the Titans weren't doing too good. Derrick Henry wasn't getting it done. Matt Ryan looked like a shell of his former self. And the Jags were only the only team that were really popping to everybody. And it just goes to show how week to week, you know, we always come to these conclusions. I was listening to another fantasy show earlier yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, some receivers had a bad performance. And we're like, okay, this receiver isn't it. He's not it for the season. We were wrong on him. And I was surprised to hear it because this guy's a very prominent figure in the fantasy community. And it just seemed like he was very conclusive. And it was just the end all be all because week six, you know, these guys produced a certain way in week six. And it's just, you know, it just really comes back to how, I think we've touched on this a couple of times, how you got to stay fluid in this kind of thing and have an open mind and just see the opportunities and the avenues that each team and offense can go down. Right. I mean, like I think the Colts were all left for dead, right? We were set for streaming team defenses against Colts. I was set to stream the Titans defense against the Colts this week. I saw what the Titans did to the Colts last time they played them a few weeks ago. But after seeing what the Colts did now and how they've discovered a new dimension to their game, I'm more hesitant, and I don't want to start streaming the Titans DST this week. You know, I guess we could talk about good streaming defenses this week because it really doesn't feel like there are any besides for like the chalk, you know, New England and all those guys. But after that, you know, a lot of people are looking at defenses like the Broncos, like I said, the Titans, the Giants versus Jags, the Broncos versus I'm scared to start the Broncos DST, not because I don't think they're a good defense, but I think Robert Saleh is doing such a fascinating job with the Jets, and Zach Wilson still looks bad, but man, they're still winning games despite that. And it's fascinating to watch. And I haven't sat and watched a full game yet, but they manhandled the Packers and they played really well the week before that. And Saleh is doing an amazing job, man. And I don't think enough people are talking about what he's doing with the Jets. And now this week they're going to go probably beat the crap out of the Broncos. And do you know any good defenses to start? I mean, I want to talk about the Jets. We can talk about defenses, but I mean, like, let's talk about the Jets. What do you think about the Jets, man? Like,
I think that, you know, it's funny. I know people have said this, but I think the Jets and Giants are very similar teams. They're just finding ways to win. The offenses don't look great. They have good running backs, you know, Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley. And the part on the Jets, though, is they have good receivers. It's just they can't get it to them. Right. But the Giants are kind of piecing things together. Wandale Robinson came through. So I'm very interested if Zach Wilson can play better because I can't think that they can continue this all season. A defense that I kind of liked was the Dolphins this week. So I like them, and I don't know if you can necessarily get the Packers, but they're playing the Commanders in with Heineke, and he's always good for a couple like bad decisions a game. So I could see one of those turning into a pick six. And even though the Jaguars gave up 34 points to the Colts, I don't think they're bad this week because I know Daniel Jones has been better. But, I mean, they really get after the passer, and you never know if they could get a couple fumbles there.
Yeah, they've had the Jags defense has been a nice surprise, man. I want to know more about why. I know we've been focusing on the AFC South a lot, but it's these teams that are, like, in flux, and, like, a lot of these – and, you know, the Jags are definitely, like, a mystery, and they deserve, like, a whole show because – you know, their defense has been really good. Last week, they had a hiccup against the Colts. It was a divisional game. Those games get weird. But before that, their track record was really clear, clean the prior 6 weeks. I mean, why do you think their defense is so good now all of a sudden?
I think one thing is they brought in Olaquan, who is the middle linebacker for the Falcons. And they're pairing him with Devin Lloyd, which is the rookie from Utah. And he's just all over the field. He is great in coverage. He's doing that. And I think they finally found spots for those outside guys with Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. They have Arden Key, and you know, they brought in they're using Andre Sisco, who's a safety from Syracuse.
Yeah.
Last year, Urban Meyer surprisingly said, yeah, you know, he'll get more playing time. He's doing okay, and he'd never even played. So, you know, but I think they have a lot of young pieces, and I think the coaching is a lot better. They do have some problems with corners that Tyson Campbell is a very good corner. He is always around the receiver. He did a little better against the Colts, but he doesn't turn his head. So a lot of times he gets, you know, mossed or contested catch because he doesn't turn his head, so he can't fight the ball. And so he needs to work on that. But I think, you know, the defense gets after the passer. I've been pleasantly surprised with Trayvon Walker, but he's getting some really costly penalties because he's too aggressive. He hit Matt Ryan in the helmet pretty hard. You just can't make those mistakes. But I've been pleasantly surprised with his progress already.
Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, this week's going to be another great game. I think the Giants – we thought they were like, I think for the first 4 weeks of the season, we thought they were the worst 4-1 team, but now they've proven themselves. And I think everybody's like, damn, this team's getting coached up really well. They got Wandell Robinson back. They're better off without Kenny Golladay and Kadarius Toney. They're making it work. Saquon Barkley, you know, God bless his soul, but I hope Saquon Barkley lasts the entire year because he is like probably the heart and soul of this offense right now. And, you know, if sticking with the theme of, you know, offenses and how they're changing, and also like how some offenses aren't changing. We thought it looks like the Eagles, you know, so far for the past few weeks have reverted back to the run heavy scheme. And you know, that probably is a product of game script because it doesn't seem like many teams can get up on the Eagles right now. You know, they're great on both sides of the ball. And this team is just fascinating to watch, right? Like when they want to kill you with the receivers and their tight ends, they're going to kill you with them. When they want to get you with a ground game, they're going to do it with a ground game. They're going to do it either way. But it seems like, you know, that they're really comfortable with kind of just sticking with the ground game. They're so efficient at running them. They could run the ball 10 times in a row and get first downs for all those, like, in subsequent times they run the ball. They're just amazing to watch how efficient they are. I don't see, you know, they're a lock probably to win the division, but we have Dak Prescott coming back this week. I think the Washington is kind of like, they're just drowning, and the Giants, we haven't seen, man, the Eagles Giants, when those two guys play each other, it's going to be awesome to watch. I can't wait to watch that game. But yeah, man, AJ Brown, he's still a wide receiver one, but it's, I can see weeks where he just kind of like doesn't do anything because they're just going to be so, you know, up on teams and just running the hell out of the ball.
I wanted to ask your opinion on, I feel like Goddard is always going to be someone involved. They're going to run the ball, but I don't know if AJ Brown and Devonta Smith can ever have big games together. I just don't think they pass the ball enough.
Yeah.
So, And AJ Brown's going to be more of the red zone target, I would imagine, because of the bigger body receiver. So even if he only gets a couple catches, maybe he gets that touchdown. But the for Devonta, you really need those targets for him. So I think Devonta is like wide receiver two, wide receiver three, kind of in between that, just because they don't have to throw the ball that much, and their defense is playing so well that they don't have to catch up, and they do so many things with Jalen Hurts running the ball. And honestly, he's running the ball into the end zone, on crazy plays. So that means they don't necessarily have to pass the ball as much.
Well, one thing that's very encouraging with AJ Brown, if you watched last week's game, you saw them moving him behind the line of scrimmage from one end to the other, one side of the field to the other. And you just love to see that, because they're trying to get him open. Like, they had Trayvon Diggs running through traffic. Like, they would snap the ball and Trayvon Diggs would still be like on the other side of the line of the scrimmage, running through linebackers and crossing routes, and AJ Brown would just running free in the flats. So we love to see that, at least. I thought that the Eagles were just going to default to Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert every time AJ Brown was locked up on a cornerback one. And AJ Brown has actually had some tough matchups. He played Marlon Humphrey against the Cardinals, and now he had Trayvon Diggs. I don't know what their schedule is like coming out after the bye, but I mean, it's really encouraging to see them moving around. And Nick Sirianni, we were talking about Saleh, but Nick Sirianni, man, good. This guy, we just knew he was going to be a great coach, because we saw how he morphed his offense when he needed to in like week three of 2021, right? And that's always a good sign when you're looking at a good head coach, right? What can my team do? What can my quarterback do? I don't want to impose my philosophies because my ego is too big. And how am I going to let my guys win? How do I put my guys in a good position to win? This guy's probably like a great father too, because like he sees what, people around him need, and he gives them the tools to succeed. So this, it's great. It's great. And, there's also like on the other side of the spectrum, there's a bunch of really bad coaching going on right now. Another topic I wanted to discuss is the tight end landscape right now. I feel like the tight end landscape is not as bad as we perceived it to be. Outside of Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, I think we need to stop viewing the tight end landscape as bad, because we're setting the bar really high when we're looking at outlier tight ends like Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, right? Where we see a lot of dynamic pass catchers and wide receivers, and it's understandable why more tight ends aren't being used when you have amazing wide receivers being bred and being drafted into the NFL these days. But we're looking at the emergence of, as of last week, you saw Robert Tonyan, finally break out. And I think I was really high on Robert Tonyan coming into the season. We saw Mike Gesicki start to be utilized more. We saw Noah Fant start to be utilized more. Jake Ferguson had a nice breakout game. Dan Bellinger's having a breakout game. Kate Otten's starting to make some noise now. Gerald Everett broke out a while ago. So we're starting to see a lot of tight ends being, Irv Smith, he's not like amazing, but he's being used in the red zone. So, I don't think the tight end landscape is so as tough as it seems to be. And I think a lot of players, are chasing that past week's production when that's not the way to go about it. I think when you pick a tight end, just stick with him. If you chase past week's production, you're going to be chasing ghosts the entire time. But I mean, I just want to ask your opinion on what you think about am I wrong in thinking that it's as good as it is, or is it getting better, or is it worse, or what do you think?
I think it's definitely changed, because in the past we thought we had those three or four top end guys, and I think now we only have two, with Waller's injury, Kyle Pitts not producing every week, George Kittle not producing every week. But I think then there's the top two, but then there's a lot of guys that you can depend on, in that tight end range. A lot of them, what you said, Gerald Everett was been a big, big one for both of us. One that I will say, if he's on the waiver wire, I might go get him, is Hayden Hurst with the Bengals. He's had some up and down games, but I think with tight ends, what I want to see is just that they get the opportunity from the quarterback targets. And you've seen that with Joe Burrow, giving him targets, because those big plays, you shouldn't chase those big plays because they're so fluky. But if you see a player like a Robert Tonyan getting like 5, 6, 7 targets from Aaron Rodgers, that's going to continue happening as long as they're consistent and catch the ball. But I do agree. Because you look at even tight ends like Dawson Knox that, you know, are on the lower end, he still has that, you know, touchdown capabilities and everything. So I think the tight ends aren't as, you know, low as they used to be. It's just we don't have those as many top-end elite tight ends as we have had in the past.
Yeah, yeah. And it, luckily, and if you were lucky enough to score like a solid tight end, which, you know, there are really aren't many. You know, you have Zach Ertz, who was going in the later rounds. And then on the other end, you have, you know, we have Goddard in the middle of rounds and we have Kelce and Andrews after that. So if you're lucky enough to score one of those guys, you know, blessings on you. But I mean, it's weird because I've been thinking about this for the past couple of weeks. You know, what is a harder position to stream right now? Tight end or quarterback? You know, I think there can be an argument made for quarterback is a harder position to stream right now than tight end. But, you know, and it's kind of like unfair. It's an unfair kind of question to ask because you're obviously looking for like at least 20 points out of the quarterback position. But if I can, you know, if I can use a experience from my, if I can use an anecdotal experience, you know, for the past like 4 weeks, I don't know how, but I've somehow always streamed maybe the worst, maybe the worst or the second worst quarterback for the past 4 weeks in a row, right? Last week it was Kenny Pickett. The weekend before that, it was Trevor Lawrence. The weekend before that, it was Marcus Mariota. The weekend before that, I forgot who. But I've been like traumatized from streaming quarterbacks. I'm like quivering and I do dry heaves, you know, when I wake up in the middle of the night because I'm terrified about playing quarterback. But, you know, I just feel like it's, I don't know what it is about the streaming of the quarterback this year. It just, what is happening? What is happening, Brandon? Why is it so hard? What do you think?
Well, I think one thing I've heard people talking about this, I think scoring in general is get down, which is a you know, something with it. I don't know if defenses are catching up. Talking about you're picking the wrong, you know, in one league, it's a super flex, so it's my second quarterback. I always have to pick between Marcus Mariota and Davis Mills. And every single time I pick the wrong one,
it kills your team.
Yeah. It's just so
that's your super flex spot. It kills your team, man. You want some points, right? Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know because even the good quarterbacks, other than Mahomes and Allen, I don't necessarily think Herbert has performed the way people thought he would. You know, Burrow has kind of come on lately, but he had some games where the offense was struggling. Obviously, Dak's been hurt, and we don't even know if Dak is going to come anything close to what he did last year. With, you know, the different weapons, they might move more towards the running game. All those rookie quarterbacks from last year, up and down. Trevor has some good games, but you're really depending on him rushing the ball more than just passing the ball. You know, Jimmy G, you know, the up and down with him. Rodgers is killing me because that offense can't get going.
Yeah.
Can we quickly talk about the Arizona Cardinals? Because sure. In the bar, I was watching that game, and I just kept on yelling at the TV. First of all, like, obviously part of this goes towards Cliff. I don't think he utilizes players the best way and everything. But part of this goes on Kyler. Sometimes it's I don't know what he's doing, you know, in finding the open receivers. He holds the ball too long, and I mean, it's good that DeAndre Hopkins is coming back because, you know, he's just going to throw a bunch of jump balls to DeAndre Hopkins. So, but it's just so frustrating to watch because I think what they should do is just throw everything quick. They should stop these long down the field, especially now that Marquise Brown got hurt on that last play. But get the ball up quick to these fast receivers, to, you know, Rondale and Dortch, get him back in the game, to Ertz. It's just so frustrating. They, even without DeAndre Hopkins, they have so many weapons that they should use, and consistently it's underwhelming watching them play.
It's a combination of Cliff and Kyler, I think. Maybe Kyler isn't a good fit for what Cliff wants to do. And Cliff doesn't know how to fit his players properly. I mean, we saw that with Rondell Moore. We're seeing that with Rondell Moore. You know, maybe I don't know how Marquise Brown was deployed, but you know, he just got a bunch of targets. I don't know how he was deployed, but Marquise Brown, I think, you know, bless his soul, but he's not an X receiver. He's not a true wide receiver one. He shouldn't be acting alone out there. He needs another wide receiver like DeAndre Hopkins to, on the other side of the field. So I think that was a hindrance for the offense a lot. But Kyler Murray, yeah, he is indecisive. He makes some poor throws sometimes. But I think, you know, it's kind of like our perspective on him is a little bit skewed because, or like kind of fogged because like the past few years he's been injured, right? He's played somewhat well, then he gets injured. And I think this is probably like the worst the Cardinals have looked since he's been on the Cardinals, right? They have just looked miserable. And I think Cliff Kingsbury is just gone stale, really. I think he's just gone stale as a coach and he's just been figured out and he needs to start like, you know, he needs to go work on his resume because he's quickly fitting that Matt Rule-esque type of archetype where it's just not working anymore, right? You're just not working anymore for the team. And it feels like there's some turmoil with the Cardinals. It feels like there's some tumultuous, you know, feelings in the locker room with the Cardinals. And it seems like, you know, like the Broncos right now, like there's a lot of that with the Broncos right now, right? And there's a lot of that with the Panthers right now, obviously. And it seems like, you know, there's always that feeling with the teams that every year there's always those teams that have that friction in the locker room. But this year more than ever, like it seems like Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray just don't like each other right now. They don't want to work with each other right now. You saw like all offseason long, there was just constant reports of Kyler Murray and, you know, the coach not getting on the same page and play calling duties. And Cliff now Kingsbury is saying, maybe I need to hand over play calling duties. You know, we saw, you know, it's just not like he's going in that direction. And we'll see what happens with DeAndre Hopkins this week. It could rebound everything. But, you know, at the same time, in all honesty, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is a saving grace for the offense. You know, he's also been injured plenty of times for the past couple of years. And he's, what, 30 years old now? Is he 30 years old now, I believe? So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's not looking great for the Cardinals. But that whole division, the NFC West, it's pretty much wide open, right? It's pretty much wide open.
So you're telling me that Robbie Anderson isn't their savior?
Robbie Anderson.
When I saw that trade, I was like, what are they doing?
Why are they doing that? Like, why? You guys rarely even throw it that deep. You know, they don't even throw it that deep. Just put somebody else out there. Put Rondell Moore out there for Christ's sake. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, Robbie, like you guys traded a seventh round, I guess. It was a seventh round pick. So, you know, who knows, but. I don't know, man. Sticking in the same division, the Rams are obviously fucked. They're done. The Niners, they're fun. They're the Niners. But, I mean, Geno Smith.
Could you know, the Seahawks win this division?
So I was going to say the Seahawks could possibly win this division.
How you know? Crazy would that be after all the, like, the Seahawks could be the worst team. They let go of Russ. Geno Smith is horrible and look at them. Maybe Carroll was right the whole time not to let Russ cook.
He was right. It's 100%. He was right. It was 100%. We were all stupid wrong. We were arrogant and cocky. And we were all wrong about that. And, you know, it's just really cool to see like that they can obviously win. And Carroll was right. Carroll was like, I'm not going to let this guy throw the ball a million times. I'm not going to let Russell Wilson throw the ball. And Geno Smith is doing what he needs to do. He's taking what's there and he's being a functional, you know, quarterback. He's very solid and he's got very good weapons to complement him. And there's no reason why these guys can't take the NFC West. I'm very excited to see it. There was one more point I was going to make. I forgot what it was, but.
I have one thing that I wanted to see your opinion. It's a player that I think I'm higher on, but we both like Tyquan Thornton. I was texting
you. Oh, man. How have we not spoken about him yet?
Yeah. So. I know some people are saying, you know, it's just a flash or whatever, but he did, you know, he got three targets last week, 2 weeks ago, like around 42% snap share. Last week, 57%. He got five targets in an offense that isn't really passing the ball a lot. And I like what I saw. I think he's going to continue to get opportunities. What's your opinion on him for the rest of the season?
I mean, he had a very strong preseason. You and I were we're really into him. I think we were both caught off guard when he went early in the draft, as early as he did in the draft. Honestly, when he did get selected by the Patriots that early in the draft, I was like, oh, he must really suck because the Patriots selected him early. Like that actually like made me doubt myself and my belief in Tyquan Thornton and our assessment of Tyquan Thornton. But yeah, man, I mean, he had a really strong, he was building a lot of good momentum coming into the season, and he's just picked up right where he left off, you know? And, you know, they've got Jacoby Myers there now. They got Devontae Parker now. Like, they sneaky, like, have a good set of wide receivers, right? Like, they sneakily have, like, they have Hunter Henry there now. And Bailey Zappi's fucking dealing the ball like crazy. Like, he looks amazing.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, when they picked him, I thought it was crazy because they picked him over Sam Howell. But I was like, Patriots actually are pretty good at picking backup quarterbacks to get value out of and then send them and get, you know, those picks. I think they might be better with Ramondre Stevenson being the main running back too, because he's more explosive. And I think they might be a better offense with him. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know. Have you heard how long Damian Harris is supposed to be out?
Well, you know, the reports were several weeks, but he got limited practices all week. But I think, you know, they signed Kevin Harris from the practice squad on Thursday. They elevated him from the practice squad on Thursday. So, you know, with Patriots, they do have really sketchy practice reports. So, you know, it's really to take me with a grain of salt, grain of sand when you hear the Patriots practice reports. So, yeah, he was limited all week. And then apparently a game time decision going into the Browns game. But maybe that might be Belichick playing games. But I mean, like, this is another team where we're like, oh God, it's going to be like, who's going to be calling the plays, you know? And, you know, the Seahawks, like I watched one preseason game of them and they couldn't even get a first down with Geno Smith for the entire time the starters were on the field. Right. And we saw, like, you know, the Patriots, like, they, you know, McDaniels was gone. We're like, oh Christ, who's coming in to call plays? No one, there's no offensive, and they're just doing really well. They're doing amazing. They have Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, who are really good foundational pieces for that offense. They have Bailey Zappi playing very comfortably. They have offenses. They have the secondaries playing on their heels because you have good, legit quarter running wide receivers. You know, like, this offense, you know, maybe in a few weeks can be like, they can open it up more and become more of a passing offense. Who knows when Mac Jones comes back? We'll see. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of those offenses that definitely watch and see how they change. And, you know, it's definitely something that we've discussed to open the show, how offenses change. We might see that this week. I think this week, not this week, because they're going to trounce all over the Bears probably, but yeah, really excited to watch the Patriots going forward.
So what, I know you had a point, but I wanted to say, I saw signs with Justin Fields on that Thursday night game. Don't get me wrong. That was a horrible Thursday night game.
Yeah.
But I saw signs with him, that long run. He can't miss that touchdown throw through the tight end. He's just got to toss it up there. But, I mean, if Darnell Mooney makes that catch on the first try,
right,
I mean, they win that game. I mean, it's small steps, but I see small steps with the Bears and with Justin Fields looking better.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, there are small steps. They're coming gradually. I think a lot of people have touched on it right now. I mean, if you watch the Bears games, you see the announcers and the commentators discuss it. You see that he has trust issues. He's kind of late on his reads. He's throwing way later into windows that he has no business throwing him into. But I mean, you know, he's still got a pretty deep ball. He's still Justin Fields. They just really, just comes down to the weapons and, you know, his trust issues in his, in the people that he plays with and the offensive pieces that he plays with. It's coming along though. And it looks like, you know, in the past couple weeks that they've opened up he's starting to rush more and creating more rushing opportunities. Man, he is crazily athletic. That guy is hell in the open field. It's very difficult for DBs to catch him. They need to utilize that way more often. So yeah, it's coming along and we'll see what he does against the Patriots defense this week. It should be like a low scoring game, but it should be a more interesting game to watch as far as like a development perspective and just a pure football perspective.
No, I agree. And I'm actually somewhat excited to watch this game because say this game was at like 1 or 4, I would watch a different game because it's not going to be exciting, but since it's the only one I can kind of, for the analysis part,
we can
kind of, you know, this is for the, like the fantasy nerds, the football nerds that
watch,
you know, well, the Patriots are a little better, but not a great game. but trying to see, you know, the younger players and how they develop. I think this year has been really crazy in how, like, we've gone back and forth. We talked about the Jets. They look good early on. Now not so good. You know, we left the Patriots for dead, you know, when Matt Jones got hurt. You know, different teams we've gone back and forth on. And, you know, the Steelers 2 weeks ago, when they got beat down by the Bills, we said it was all over. And then they come back and beat the Buccaneers. I think there's just not that many dominating teams. Probably
no.
Only one is the Eagles. And they haven't necessarily dominated every game. I just think there's a lot of teams that aren't great. So, you know, they're all kind of in the same area and makes it for a pretty competitive season, it looks like.
It seems just like a bunch of kids like fighting in like a dirt lot, just kicking up scraps of just dirt flying in the air. I mean, like, we're probably gonna see Sam Howell in a couple of weeks. And, you know, Kenny Pickett, you know, there's no fair assessment we could have made of Kenny Pickett last week. I mean, I think, you know, he didn't make any really bad throws at all. He played really good until he was knocked out with a concussion. This week, we're probably going to see him play against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday Night Football. He's got a full practice in already. I'm looking forward to it. Kenny Pickett was another guy I streamed last week because I have faith in him. I think Kenny Pickett, the thing with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett is Mitch Trubisky already looks like he's defeated before he even takes the first snap before the game starts. Kenny Pickett is fighting. Like, Kenny Pickett, if you watch the Buffalo Bills game, like, they were getting blown out, like, at the top of the fourth quarter, and somebody took a late on it, hit on him, or somebody pushed him out of bounds, and he got up, and it was like a linebacker, and he got, like, in his face. Like, and you see that. A guy who's down, like, 30-plus points is getting up, and a quarterback, he's getting up, and he's sticking up for himself, and the team rallies around that, right? And That's a huge intangible. That's something that you need to, like, the team, you hear, like, I always hear, like, Sigmund Bloom says this a lot. You know, the team is going to take on the personality of their quarterback, right? So Kenny Pickett, like, the Steelers season is probably over, maybe. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, you know, he can resuscitate those guys. You know, he can maybe keep them competitive with the Ravens, and maybe hopefully they can finish second in the AFC North.
Yeah, I just a quick thing with the Steelers. They're going to grind out some wins because that's just what Tomlin does. And I think you're right about Pickett. I think the team kind of loves him with that. Just a quick little rant about I know the Commanders won, but what is Ron Rivera doing with these running backs? I mean, it doesn't – like, he gave – it was such – if it was just like – I talked to someone on Saturday about this. If it was just like a clean split with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, I'd be like, all right, I get it. But it's such a vast difference, even though Antonio Gibson is running the ball well. He had only four carries, he had 28 yards. Brian Robinson gets that one touch. I don't know what is, in, you know, and I'm not hating on Brian Robinson. I think he's a fine running back.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what Rivera's love for him is. And why he hates Antonio Gibson so much.
Yeah, and, you know, I like Brian Robinson, but he's nowhere close athletically to Antonio Gibson. I mean, you can clearly see the distinction between the two levels of athleticism when they both receive the ball. Like, Antonio Gibson's automatically, like, he's just way quicker to the edge, he's way quicker to the hole, he's way bigger than Brian Robinson is. I mean, he's just a better runner in every, you know, and Brian Robinson's fine. Brian Robinson would do well on another team. Like, he'd be great, you know, tandem back, like, say, on the Ravens or you know, on the Seahawks or something like that. But I mean it's just I don't understand why they're doing this to Antonio Gibson. Like, I just don't understand why they're taking their best players off the field. Like, it doesn't make sense. It just and I don't know, man. It's just this. It's not going to be good. Like, Brian Robinson's fine, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Antonio Gibson. If the coaching staff doesn't put Antonio Gibson right now, if they at least don't split the snaps and the touches evenly with Brian Robinson, then though that coaching staff is completely inept and they need to be removed from the NFL as soon as possible, because that is just pure, outright, just willful negligence, and they need to be reported to NFL social services because that is just disgusting. You can't do that. You cannot take your best players off the field. Like, when you take Antonio Gibson off the field for fumbling, you're creating more of a complex for him. You're creating more of a psychological. That's my belief. I think when you do that, like, you're traumatizing him and you're like, okay, I can't fumble the ball. And he's going to fumble the ball because he's terrified of being put in the doghouse again. He's not relaxed. He's not playing like himself. That's not how you build esteem, right? That's not how you build confidence in your team members, right? So, he's like, Ron Rivera is essentially like on the other end of the spectrum of what Nick Sirianni is, right? So it's just, we'll see what they do, but I'm not very confident in it.
Yeah, and it's even more confusing. I know with quarterbacks, you can't bench him every, but I mean, Carson Wentz turns over the ball all the time.
Bench your quarterback, bench Wentz, dude.
And one thing I will say, Scary Terry has had a slow start. I'm playing him wherever I can this week with Heinicke, because you know Heineke's forcing the ball in. He's I'm going to target to Terry like 15 times. So
yeah,
I'm going to get that one good game out of Terry from here just because they aren't. Yeah, they're another team that it doesn't seem like they scheme up their best players overly well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're giving Curtis Samuel like all these like 2 yard passes and, you know.
That's a scared offense right there. You're just giving it to Curtis Samuel the entire time. You got Jahan Dotson and, you know, Terry McLaurin ready to rip up the intermediate areas of the field, 10 yards beyond. But I want to talk about one. Let's talk about one more player that started this week, and then we'll close the show out. Looking at Kenneth Walker run the ball this week was just refreshing, and I felt clean and just cleansed. I felt like I took a shower when I watched Kenneth Walker run the ball. It was just amazing. That guy is – no one runs the ball like him at all in the league. No one moves like him, not even Breece Hall. Like, this guy, his like, ankle flexion and the fluidity in his hips and the way he can just – man, this guy just is going to just – and his yards after – he's yards after contact, the way he rips through tackles, like, he can go in zone. Like, there were some really bad split zone blocking in that game. Like, the tight ends whiffed really badly. There were some bad blocking tight ends like Noah Fant, Will Disley, Kobe Parkinson. Those guys can't block for shit. But, I mean, he was still making it work, and he's a tough runner. But the overall, the offensive line isn't horrible in Seahawks, and he's going to find so much success this year. And still, the fantasy community is not giving him his due credit. I feel like a lot of people in the fantasy community don't truly understand what Kenneth Walker is. Like, not only is he physically talented, but people don't understand that processing speed, how you, especially as a running back, when you're dealing with so many environmental constraints in such a constrained area, in such a close area, when you're dealing with reading and manipulating and crowded areas of the line of scrimmage and getting in the second level and reading blocks and manipulating the second level, like, you, it's probably like after quarterback, running back probably demands the highest processing speed in on the offense, right? Maybe on the both sides of the ball. His processing speed coupled with his athleticism and his physicality is insane, dude. And people just don't understand it, and they're not giving him the due credence that he deserves, right? They're saying, "Oh, I doubt he'll ever have an RB." I read a prominent writer at CBS Sports, I won't throw his name under the bus, but he said, "I doubt that Kenneth Walker will finish as an RB win this season." And I'm like, then, dude, you just have no idea what this guy is. You just have no idea what – I mean, his first start of the game, he got 3 targets already, you know, and he's just going to be – I mean, like, what do you think? Don't be honest with me. Don't make me feel better about my opinion about it. What do you think about Kenneth Walker? Did you watch him run? Did you see him run on Sunday?
I did. And I think what most of this comes about, and I argued this before the draft, people go crazy about when Jonathan Taylor, running backs that don't get the targets in the offense. And I kept on saying, Michigan State doesn't throw to running backs. They just don't throw them. I've seen him catch passes. He's not like, I think Breece Hall is a better receiver, but Kendall Walker is fine. He's going to be fine. And he's a perfect running back for that system. They need a physical running back, but he has that speed to take it to the house. And Michigan State did a lot of similar things. They would block up. And once he hits that hole, he's gone. And he's strong. And like you said, I think that's crazy because Seattle's going to run the ball. And they're going to give it to him. I mean, his first start, they gave him 21 carries. 21 carries. So, they're not scared. They're not scared about it. He's finally healthy. I am sad for Rashad Penny that he got hurt, and sad for my fantasy teams that he's on. But Kenneth Walker is just a very exciting player, and it's going to be very interesting to see his development and Breece Hall's development. You know, it's going to be, you know, what, there's a conversation about, you know, how good each one is, but I'm very excited to see, like, you know, when we look, is it going to be, you know, a one of those great, you know, running back draft with it between those two to see who does well, because both are different. Breece Hall is more of the slasher receiving type, and Kenneth Walker is more of the traditional, you know, running back in years past, but that still can work.
Yeah.
That still can work.
Yeah. And it just makes you feel good because he's in Pete Carroll's offense, right? I mean, he's there, you know, in a team that knows how to properly run a ball, right? They have experience, and this is what the team is embedded in. They embed their offense in this philosophy and running the ball. And, you know, Kenneth Walker, you know, Pete Carroll saw that Kenneth Walker knows how to run out of all schemes. You know, we saw him do it at Michigan State. They ran duo a lot in Michigan State. They run a lot of good gap and a lot of gap and power schemes. And they run that a lot out of Seattle. And, you know, Pete Carroll, just, it feels good. It feels good to know he's going to be taken care of. And, you know, I just wanted to end the show on that note. If you have Kenneth Walker, if you lost Rashad Penny, I'm sorry. You know, and Rashad Penny, you know, he's an amazing running back in his own right. But man, Kenneth Walker needs to be ranked in the top 12 every single week of the running back position, because this is going to be an amazing season for him and both him and Breece Hall. And they're just going to blow the scene up. These guys were massively undersold going to the regular season. And, you know, with that, I think we touched on a lot of good things, and we had some really good, we both brought some really good insight. And I want to thank my cats for not walking in front of the camera. He's sitting right there. He wants you really bad. But Brandon, is there anything you want to say before we shut the show out tonight? Is there anything you want to discuss real quick?
No, I really enjoyed this type of just open discussion. We'll have to do this more. And yeah. I don't know if you saw, I want to thank Toronto Dave, because he's in the YouTube channel commenting and everything.
Hey,
so
I missed that.
So yeah, that's it. So we can go ahead and close it up.
Thank you, Toronto Dave. Hey, I got family from Toronto. I've been out there a lot, and I have family in Montreal. So, you know, I was raised on the Jays and the Leafs, man. So, you know, it's all good. All right, guys.
Yeah, so that's it. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, see you guys later.